All right, so we're beginning a journey into 1 Peter. That's kind of where we're going to be for the next few weeks together, just kind of following along this journey in 1 Peter. And so we're just going to invite you to be there with us and kind of walk through it with us as we're kind of going along. So here's something that's going to be different, and some of you have kind of caught that this week, is that throughout the way, we're going to be doing some Bible plans together. So whatever topic we're hitting or discussing for that week, watch for an invitation on that Sunday to join us for a reading that week that's going to have to do with that. So, and if you're not a part of it, download this on your smartphone and join us, because it's really fun to do this together, kind of do this, do a plan together and have comments together and kind of share that. So if you'd like to do that, some of you are doing it now with a plan that we're doing called On Wisdom, and you're commenting every day, and that lets everybody else get some insight to what other people are thinking. So along the way, we are going to try to do this every week. So Peter's the one that writes this letter, obviously, and if you don't know a lot about Peter's story, it's pretty, I think, amazing, because at first we know him as Simon. That's all we know him. Simon the fisherman from a city called Capernaum. That's where he's from, that's where he lives, and he encounters Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. And probably a very desperate time for Simon, because he's out fishing all night. He needs somebody to help him. And Jesus comes along and says, yeah, I know this is not the time to fish, but take that net and throw it into the sea. And he comes back with this incredible catch of fish. And it's absolutely amazing. And so that's when he looked at Jesus and said, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus just invites him at that point, Simon, come follow me. He ultimately changes his name to Peter. I think it's because Peter needed a new identity. He needed to understand who he was and that Jesus was going to do something amazing through him and in him. And so he calls him Peter, which is like the rock. And maybe he thought, the only way I'm a rock is I got out of the boat and sunk. That's the only way I'm a rock. Maybe that's what Peter thought. Maybe that's what you've thought before. Jesus, you don't understand. I'm not good for anything. But Jesus sees something in Peter, just like he sees something in us, that sometimes we miss that. And so here's Peter, and he, even at his lowest point, when he denies Jesus, the night Jesus is going to the cross, before he gets arrested, and there's Peter, and there he is denying him three times. And what does Jesus do in incredible love? He invites him back once again. Peter, follow me. Follow me. Yeah, I know. Follow me. Follow me. And he becomes the leader of the early church. It is very clear in the book of Acts that we kind of turn a page and here's Peter. And Peter's doing some amazing things, and we're like, wow. It's like all of it came together, and there's Peter leading the early church. He ultimately dies as a martyr. He was sentenced to death by Rome, and so instead of being crucified as he was supposed to be, he asked that be done upside down, because he didn't deserve the same death as Jesus. So that's just a little bit about Peter. But one of the things I think is amazing about Peter is what happens in this whole situation where he gets restored and he comes back to being a disciple and ultimately the leader in the early church, okay? And that's in the book of John. John kind of records this for us, this encounter that Jesus has with Peter. So Jesus is risen, and he shows up on the beach one day because Peter's back fishing again, right? I think he thought, I'd blown it. And he's back fishing. So Jesus shows up, makes him breakfast, and begins to call him again. And John records from us a very interesting thing that takes place and happens. So Jesus said a third time. So I think it just parallels the denial. He denied him three times, so Jesus is going to remind him three times, Peter, here's what I need you to do. So Jesus said a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, Peter was distressed that Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? Right? Maybe he's like, oh, that brought up that night all over again, three times. So he replies to him, he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus replied, feed my sheep. Okay, I got a job for you. I got something for you to do. And then Jesus does something he does for no other disciple that we're ever told. He looks at Peter and he tells him how his life is going to end. And I'm like, that's just an interesting detail. And it's one that I will admit I have skipped over lots of times in reading through John. Okay, that's nice. You know, next page. And this time I stopped and looked at it, and I'll tell you why here in a moment. So Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you tied your clothes around you and went wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and others will tie you up and bring you where you do not want to go. And in case we didn't know what was going on, John tells us, Jesus did this to clearly indicate what kind of death Peter was going to have to glorify God. And after he said this, and I love this, Jesus told Peter, Peter, follow me. Follow me. And I kept going back as we're getting ready to start this letter that Peter writes, that perhaps on the beach that day, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, by the city of Capernaum, that Peter needed to make a decision. It's a decision really we all should make, but I think we just aren't used to it in our world, in our context. And the question that Peter had to answer that day was, is it worth the risk? If Jesus is going to reveal to you, hey, this is how it's going to end. I know, just so you don't get any ideas, this is how it's going to end. So Peter, tell me, is it worth the risk? Is it worth it to come into my kingdom to follow what I'm asking you to do? And Peter ultimately decided that day, yes. Because there's Jesus' invitation. Here's how it's going to end, Peter. Follow me. And there's Peter. Okay, I'm in. But he had to ask and answer that question, is it worth the risk? And I don't know about you, but I don't ask this enough. In fact, can we just be honest? I ask a different question. Is it safe? Especially if you're a parent with kids, right? Yeah, we don't care about anything. Is it safe, right? Is it safe? Who are you going with? Where are you going? How fast are you going, right? You're doing what? Because this is the question we tend to ask far too much in our day. Is it safe? Is it safe? It's almost like we've given up this idea of taking risks, that following Jesus would be about taking risks. And now we're about, I just want to be safe. I just want to be safe. I just want to be safe. In fact, if I may transition into current times, I think we've asked this two questions far too much in our day. And we haven't asked this question enough, is it worth the risk? And so as we as a church are transitioning back to Sunday, this is the question that we talked about the other night as elders. Is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk? Because if we ask, is it safe? Well, let's just all stay hunkered down at home and maybe someday this thing will go away, right? So we have to ask a different question. Is it worth the risk? And in fact, every single person who will walk in these doors has to ask and answer that question. Is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk? Because I'm sorry, we can do everything we can and safety should take place. You always should be cautious. You always should be wise. We can do everything we can, but I can't guarantee anything. And all the elders, we know that too. We can't guarantee anything. We'd like to, but there are no guarantees. Not in a broken, fallen, messed up world. There are no guarantees. And so that means we have to ask, okay, is it worth the risk? So we take all the precautions. It doesn't mean we're foolish and we say, oh, I'll never have any problems. So I go to Walmart and I lick everything in the store because I'll never get it. See, we don't do that. We're wise. We take precautions. We say, how can we be safe? And then we say, right, we say, okay, what's the best we can do? And then we say, is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk to gather again? And let me tell you, every single person has to answer that because your story might be different than mine. Okay? If you have underlying conditions, you're going to answer this question differently than I will. You're going to answer it. And that's why everybody has to answer this question. And as a whole for the church, we said, yes, to gather back together again is important, and we need to do that. And here's the other thing that I think is going on in our world, is that if we're not careful, if we are doing what we talked about a couple weeks ago, where this is what we're anchored to and we're following whatever this says, we might look at things very differently. So again, beautiful timing. This week, another interesting survey came out. The survey simply asked, how do you perceive, not right, how do you perceive, totally subjective, how do you perceive what's going on. So here's the question they in fact asked. How many people in your country have had coronavirus? You know what we answered in America? So if you look at that chart, the first one is the UK. The second one is the United States, okay? We answered 20%. Do you know how many people that is? That's roughly 60 million. That's what we think. That's the average American thinks 60 million people have had it based on everything they've heard and things going on. That's what they believe. And so then they asked, how many people in your country have died from coronavirus? The average American thinks 9% has. Do you know what that number is? 30 million people. We just hit 150,000. Let me tell you, if we thought 1 out of 10 people were dropping, wouldn't we all just be hunkered in our basements going nowhere? Absolutely. Absolutely. But this is the perception of the average American. And here's what this all goes into, this whole idea. When you know data, and when you know what's going on, and when you know the real numbers, not what you perceive, you think about it different, and you have to ask the question, is it worth the risk? Because here's what we know. We know that fear has a way of taking control in our lives. And if you think and believe that 60 million people have it and that 30 million people have died, I guarantee you we'd all be doing way different things. When that, we know that's not the case, and we know what the real facts are and the real data is showing us, we do something very different. And when we don't, fear is a way of creeping into that front seat. It has a way of, if you're a Christian and you're following Jesus, has a way of taking Jesus and going, get out, I'm driving, I'm in control. And it has a way of just taking control of our lives and causing us to make all sorts of decisions we probably wouldn't make before. But when fear comes in and it has a way of taking control, it will do that. And so there's our question again, is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk? I think this question has to be answered by every single follower of Jesus. We're trying to ask it as a church, not only about gathering, but as we do other things, we have to ask this question, is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk? With what we have, with what needs to take place? And I'm telling you, I've watched in our own town, 2 churches close in the last year. So it's worth the risk to do whatever we can to continue to reach people, to continue to do what we do. It is totally worth the risk. But without a sense of risk, we rob the gospel of what Jesus was trying to do in and through us. And if we're just going to play it safe and not take a risk, we will miss out on a lot of things God wants us to do. In fact, this question comes up quite a bit. So if you've got a family member who doesn't know Christ, guess what you're asking? Okay, well, is it worth the risk to talk to them? I mean, I don't want to start a huge fight, right? I don't want this huge divide in my family, and I'm just probably going to make them mad. And so you have to decide this. This is your question. I can't decide this for you. You have to figure this out. And every single person, if you're following Jesus, you have to decide, what is the risk that Jesus wants me to take? What is the next thing he wants me to do? And is it risky? Possibly. Is it worth that risk? Or is all I'm going to try to do is live my life being safe and missing out on what God has in store for us? So, 1 Peter chapter 1. Here's how Peter simply begins. He tells us, from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I love how he puts this, to those temporarily residing abroad. Okay, so these are Jewish people, probably. Some of them could have been Gentiles, but they're clearly people who have left Israel and they're living in all sorts of different places. So he says, oh, that's temporary, right? Because we're citizens of a different place, and he's going to talk about that. In Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, the province of Asia, and Bithynia, most of this is modern-day Turkey that he is speaking about. And these believers, after Stephen was killed, Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 8, there's this big dispersion and everybody is leaving. And it is at that point that some of these believers that were part of that early church are all the way in this area. And Peter wants to write to them. And he says, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God by the Father, being set apart by the Spirit for obedience and for sprinkling with Jesus Christ's blood, may grace and peace be yours in full measure. That's just how he begins. I just want the full measure of God's love and grace to be upon you as you are serving and doing what you are about to do. And then I think what he does, that I can frame it maybe for us in a different way if you've ever read some of these verses before. He tells us why it's worth the risk to follow Jesus. Maybe they were all having incredibly difficult times. He's going to talk about suffering later in this book, that perhaps they forgot about that. So he's like, can I just revisit this? Because maybe Peter goes, I have to revisit it too, because times are tough. But I want you to know why it's worth the risk to follow Jesus. So look at these next couple verses with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So right in there, he's telling us, you know why it's worth the risk? Because there's new birth. Peter, tell me about new birth. Well, see, I was this guy by the name of Simon, and I did things I shouldn't have done, and I was terrible, and I met Jesus that day, and when I told Jesus to get away and leave, he just said, follow me. And then I started following him, and all of a sudden he changes my name and I'm Peter. I understand what it's like in this new birth. And then I deny him, and then he puts me in charge of the church anyway. Who would do that? But there's this new birth that he gives. And that's why it's worth the risk. Where else can you get that? Not only is it new birth, it's into this living hope. Why? Because Jesus is alive. And he anchors everything to the resurrection. It's almost like he looks at him and says, can I just go back to that day? I need to take you back to that day. The day that I walked into the tomb after the lady said it's empty. And we ran there, me and John. And I walked and I just kind of peered in. And all I saw was the grave clothes. And I went, something's happened. The stone's tossed over to the side. Something's happened. And Peter walked away going, I have no idea what happened. Until Jesus showed up in the room. And he was like, wow. You know what Peter's saying? If the guy can predict his death and resurrection and pull it off, I'm going whatever he says, right? I'm going whatever he says. That's why it's worth the risk. Nobody else can guarantee that. That's why he could look at Peter and say, Peter, this is how it's going to end for you. This is the way your life is going to end. And Peter could go, well, why would I want to do that? Because that really isn't where your life ends. Remember, Peter, remember that day in Bethany, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who lives and believes in me will never die. Did we forget about that? Or are we too busy running around just thinking, oh no, everybody's dying. And we have lost track that we don't have to fear death anymore because Christ is risen. And that's why Peter said it's always worth the risk. It's always worth the risk because he is risen. Continues. That is into an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is reserved in heaven for you. He goes, I know. Peter said, yeah, I've given up everything. Lost everything. It's all gone. But it isn't. The important thing, and the inheritance, and when he means that, he doesn't mean money. He basically means that Jesus has given me everything he has. And he says, it is in store for me in the life to come. So why wouldn't I take whatever risk he's asking me to take? And if that's go to Rome and ultimately be crucified, I'm in. I'm all in to do that and to do whatever he wants me to do because that's what he has in store for me. So it's totally worth the risk to give up the thing that I could just lose in this life when life is over, to gain that I could never lose. That's an easy exchange, Peter would say. Of course. He would say, it is worth the risk. Because of everything Jesus has done, it is worth the risk. So I come back to that. Is it worth the risk? This is a question that every single person following Jesus has to ask. Because of what Jesus, the life that he wants to give us. It's not a life where I got to be safe and I got to hide away and I just got to put myself away and hope nothing bad ever happens. No, it's much different than that. We get to live a much different life than that. In fact, I would say that locking ourselves away isn't any life at all. Some of you know family members that have had to live this life because of their age and because of conditions. They've kind of just been separated from everybody and how terrible that's been to be so disconnected from everybody else, they'd be like, yeah, I would love to be around people. It's totally worth the risk, okay? It totally is. So he invites us into considering this question all over again. Because you need to understand that for Peter, it was totally worth the risk. Even knowing how it would end, and even knowing what the end was going to be like, all in. All in, whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do. And he starts off in Acts, and it's an incredible, incredible journey. But I wonder if looking back, he says, it's because Jesus is alive. I have total trust and hope in that, and he has something incredible in store waiting for me. I also wonder if part of Peter writing this is him thinking back to the words that Jesus said when he said, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will find it. Perhaps all along Jesus was like, listen, there are risks to take. You got to decide, is it worth taking? And I'm going to invite you into a life where risks are worth it. It is worth it to take the risk. So the other night, as we were talking and planning and preparing, kind of saying, okay, is it worth the risk? Are we ready to move forward? A friend of mine reminded me of something. So he sent me this email with all these attachments. He had gone to a life church. Craig Rochelle, if you've ever heard that name, he pastors that network, and there's lots of different ones. He had gone to a life church, and he had noticed that in a lobby, and he was told that in every life church, there are these sayings in their lobby. So everybody kind of knows this, what the church is about, this is what they're going to do. And we were talking the other day, he's like, I got to send you this one. He goes, you probably heard it before, and I think I've heard parts of it before, but he said, I just feel like, Ed, I got to give you a shove in that direction, right? And so here is the statement that hangs on their wall. We are faith-filled, big thinking, bet the farm risk takers. We will never insult God with small thinking and safe living. Now, you make this statement over and over again, and every church understands this, you're going to totally do things differently. You're going to totally do things differently. Why? Because you just told everybody, no, we're not going safe. We're going to go out. We're going to go out in a bang, but we're going to go out because we are going to take some risk. Again, we're not going to be foolish. We're not going to be stupid. We're not going to do foolish, silly things, but we're going to look and say, where can we invest? Where's it worth the risk? What can we do? So I'd ask you, is this true about you currently? Are you insulting God with small thinking and safe living? Is that where you're at right now? Because, you know, with everything going on, you just kind of backed off. And there's some things that you clearly know God wants you to do. But you've been like, I don't know if I can take that risk. It's a crazy world. It's dangerous, right? There's all sorts of things going on. And we have to constantly ask, is that all we're doing? Is insulting God with our small thinking and our safe living, or are we doing everything that God wants us to do? So I'll just leave you with this idea. If following Jesus is worth the risk, then what risks are you currently taking for Jesus? That's my thought. That's my question I want to leave with you. If following Jesus is worth the risk, then what risk are you currently taking? What risk are you currently taking going, I don't know, I'm not being foolish. I'm not being just unwise, I want to take this calculated risk. For all the men out there, I think this is what keeps us from following Jesus the most. We just play it safe, and we don't understand. The world looks like, wow, that person takes risks. That person does all these things. And we don't think that Christianity has that. And for all the men out there who are forgetting that, let me just call you back to that. Yes, it is an adventure with Jesus, where we take risks and we refuse to think small. And maybe part of the problem is you just haven't taken any risks lately. And you don't feel alive and you don't feel connected to the one who has given you life. So, is it worth the risk? And what risk are you currently taking that God wants you to step into. Yeah, it might be scary. It might mean you give up part of your income that you want for something else. It might mean stepping out and saying something to a family member. And it might be saying something to a neighbor. It might be inviting somebody. It might be speaking and going, hey, how things going? It might be something you're like, oh, I don't know. Is it worth the risk? And if following Jesus is really worth it, then let's take that risk and see what God would do if we would take those risks and pray for one another, support one another, and say, let's just see what God has in store for us as we take those risks. So let me pray for us that we would do that, that we would really consider. Some of you already know what this is, so what's keeping you from taking that risk? So let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us? If we listen to the wrong things and anchor to them long enough, they have told us, be safe, hunker down, don't take any risks. And if we'd be honest, perhaps fear has taken the driver's seat. And it's controlling our life and it's pushing us in all sorts of directions that we really didn't want to go. And maybe, Jesus, we're just realizing and waking up to the realization that we're in a place we don't want to be because we've let fear take control. So would you help us to get out of that, move fear out of the seat, put you in place, show us what risk we need to take next. Jesus, I ask this for your church here, that we would know what risk we need to take. And we would know that we do not want to insult you with our small thinking and safe living. In fact, I pray everybody watching, listening, would refuse small thinking and safe living because it insults the very God who created everything and then came and gave his life for us. May we choose to live like Peter. May we choose to say, yes, it is worth the risk, and then follow through with it. Help us to do that. Help us to encourage one another to not play it safe, but to take those risks. Jesus, lead us, guide us, and direct us. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. Next week, we are back into 1 Peter, next part. So join us, and we will see you next week.